When I was in college, I remember learning about, I think it was B.F. Skinner was a psychologist here. It was a behavior modification guy. Thanks for nodding. Let me get this right. And I remember they were doing something with dogs, and they'd Pavlov's dogs, and they would, every time they fed them, they'd ring a bell. Remember that? And after a while, they didn't have to do anything. They'd ring the bell, and the dogs would salivate. I got thinking about that sitting here. I think I'm your experiment. I'm pretty sure that you guys are seeing how fast you can make me talk by making me smell what's downstairs. I know that's what you're doing here, because I'm thinking, oh gosh, we gotta get down there and eat. But I think it is very appropriate for us to once again thank these guys for coming and singing and helping us worship. So would you join us? If you've been around here for the last couple of weeks, we've been in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, and we're kind of looking at that as being some great coaching for us during this time, for you and I now, here in this time that you and I live in. Even though this would have been written hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it has relevance for today, because there is this darkness that seems to be part of our society and part of our world that just seems to prevail. And Paul talks about this quite a bit, and talks about this depravity that is in the world and in our lives. And in verse 5, he's telling his readers to put this darkness to death. Put to death, therefore, whatever is in you that's earthly. Fornication, which is sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming to those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of these such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your lips. And Paul is telling us that those things are maybe still part of your lives, but you're to put that away, because that is part of your old self. That self that was crucified with Christ, and that self now is raised with Christ. And we're to put that stuff off. Put those darkness things away. And we talked that those aspects, those list of those things that we talked about there, they still are around, and they're in our society. And we gave evidence of the things in the news and in the media that are just so dark, and they just seem to win the day. But they are also in our lives to the extent by which we need to consciously and constantly be putting them off. He says it's like taking off a dirty piece of clothing. Rid yourself of that clothing. And to me, I think that it's good coaching for these times. I think we need to be the people that this dark world sees as one who has taken that darkness off as a dirty piece of clothing. And they see us as people that have put on something else, people who are living out lives for God's purpose. And you know, if you've been around me long enough, it seemed to put a lot of the world's problems on us. You know, it's not the government's issue. It's not education. It's not any social program. I think we were the ones that are going to get this darkness on its way. We are the ones that are to bring this good news that can change the world for the better. We. I think you and I are the instruments by which God can bring His goodness to the world. And I don't think this coaching is just about getting rid of stuff and looking at all the negative stuff, because I think there's a positive aspect to what Paul in Colossians is telling us as well. He tells us there are some things we are to do and be intentional and deliberate about what we do. He tells us in verse 2 to seek the things that are above, not the things on the earth. Seek the things that are above in heaven. And then he goes on in regards to this clothing, that we take off this dirty clothing, and he says, do this, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. This is a new list. These are the things that we are to put on. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. Love. You put that good piece of clothing on yourself, and it is love. Why do we do that? Well, we do it because Christ is our life, and who He is and what He has done is what we are all about. In verse 17, where I kind of wanted to focus today, he says, and this, and whatever you do, in word or deed, what you say and your actions, everything you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I kind of stuck there on that phrase that we use a lot. Do this in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. What does that mean? We use it a lot. I think it's one of those religionese kind of things that we just say over and over again. If you're ever called on to pray, you don't have to give that prayer before the meal. You got to make sure at the end you say, in the name of Jesus, amen. You know, we all just do that. What does that mean? What does it mean in the name, when we say in Christ's name, in Jesus' name, in the Lord's name? What does that mean? And now Paul says, do everything you do. Whether you say it or whether you do it in the Lord Jesus' name. What does that mean? Well, I think there's a couple of parts to that phrase, in the name of Jesus, or do these things in the name of the Lord. First of all, I think that phrase carries with it this idea of authority or power to the one that is being named by associating with that person. Being in His name indicates that we are under His authority. When I say I come in the name of Jesus, I am saying that I am coming under His authority. If we do what Paul tells us to do, if we do anything in Jesus' names, it means that we do it with His authority that He gave us and not our own authority. And I think part of that also is we are acknowledging that we are submitting to that authority. And that's kind of hard for us to do, to submit to a higher power. We are admitting that we are submitting to that authority, and that's by which we do everything we do. We are dependently connected to Him. By that association, therefore, we have power that comes in that name, in that authority that is given by that name. And there is a tremendous benefit to that. There's a passage in Hebrews that I pulled out I wanted to share with you here that kind of bounces off this idea. And the author here says, and he's talking about the old way of how they used to do things in the temple and what the priests did and stuff. And in chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he is without sin. And this is the good part. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the authority that we are given that we can come to God. This is the authority that you and I have because we come in His name. We have this authority to come before this throne of grace because without that, we can't. We are so unholy. He is so perfectly holy, so perfectly pure, and we ain't. And there is no way we could come before that throne, but this passage says, because you are found in His name, we can boldly go to Him and pray in His name. What a wonderful thing that attaches this authority to you and I. Coming to His name means we come by His merit and in His righteousness. That's a piece of what in His name means. I think the second thing that phrase means that it carries with it the notion that we are His representatives as one who will carry on His work on His behalf to complete His will. You know, think about it. If we make the statement that I come in the name of the law, well, everything that I do has to be in line with what the law is. I can't go outside of that. I represent the law. Similarly, if I would go to an auction representing someone that can't be there and I come in the name of this bidder, everything I do represents what that person would do at that auction. If I come in that name, that's what that means. You and I, therefore, if we are in the name of Christ, act as His agent in His stead, to His credit and for His benefit, not for our benefit. No, all these deeds that happened are for Him any thanks or whatever he rewards us, he chooses to do. But everything we do then is for his benefit. And when I think about it that way, that deeply convicts me. Because I ask myself, am I really his agent? Am I really his representative? Am I really one that acts and lives and does and speaks as one that comes in his name? And that causes me to consider everything I'm doing. How am I doing as I live and I say that I am his representative? As I would go about being a husband and a father, as I relate with other people, as I am a steward of all that he has given me, as I harvest my crops, as I drive the truck, as I tend to the patients, as I participate on the team, as I love my neighbor, as I teach my students, as I fold the laundry, as I rake the leaves, as I use my money, as I relate with my classmates or my coworkers, all of those things, I represent him because I come in his name. So think about what our world would be like if all would be found in his name, under his authority, acting as his agents and representatives. Those people, all people, would have clothed themselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with meekness and patience, and they would bear with each other, and they would forgive each other, and they would be clothed in love. What a difference the world would be. What a difference that would make. And I believe it can only start here in this place with you and me. This is rally day, and I believe this could be our rally cry. Let us be the people who are clearly in the world, but are in his name. You know, I think about those people that we were looking at 100 years ago from the rally day from 1914 or whatever it was. And I can't help but think about those people stood for something. And I think they stood for pie and coffee. I think they stood for the name of Christ. And I think that is what has kept the heritage of this church together. It is being people in Christ's name. And soon people will look back at some photo of you and I, maybe 100 years from now, and wonder. And will they be thankful too that there was a group of people in 2018 who came before them but were found to be in his name? Would you stand and pray with me, and we will pray over the food, and then we will get down to business. Father God, we thank you for your name. It is a mighty and awesome thing, and we are found in that name. We thank you for the rich heritage of this church, the people that have come before us. Help us and empower us through your Spirit to be people who share that name, who live that name, and just show that name to a world that so desperately needs you. Lord, we thank you for those that have prepared this food, and we just look forward to a time where your name would be proclaimed again through our conversations and the laughter and the wonderful fellowship that we would have together. We ask all of these things in your name. Amen. Have a dinner.